and put a marker, something, piece of paper, something in Ephesians 4. And then turn over to Psalm chapter 51. We're actually going to start in Psalm 51. You know, it's interesting, the conversation that we had. Those of you that are joining us on Facebook or whatever, we're getting started late because we had a lengthy conversation in our testimony time. But recently, before we get into the message tonight, I want to kind of share my heart. We're going to start in Psalm chapter 51, Ephesians 4 in a minute, but Psalm 51 is where we're going to start. I recently had an event happen to me, and I wanted to share this with you, not to throw myself under the bus, but to help us in our walk with the Lord, okay? I'm getting feedback, Chris. Something happened to me, or I shouldn't say happened to me. I did something recently. It's not bad. I didn't go and kill anybody, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, I did something, and immediately, guess what I did?
Confessed.
Nope. I started in my mind blaming others. Well, if so-and-so hadn't done this, then I wouldn't have done this. Isn't that how we are? And I don't know. I got about 3 or 4 minutes into excuse making or blame shifting, whatever you want to call it. And God just, you know, smacked me upside the head basically and said, what are you doing?
Like King Saul did.
Yeah, like King Saul did. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, my default mechanism, and I would say most of us default to blaming others for our mistakes. Is that a fair assessment? And the Lord reminded me of King David, not King Saul, but King David. And that's why we're in Psalm 51. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer, a liar, cheat. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And just out of curiosity, before Nathan confronted David with his sin, do you think David was trying to justify his actions?
100%.
How do we know that? Why would we say 100%?
Because we would try to justify.
Exactly. Because we would do the exact same thing. And he kept covering and trying to cover and cover and cover his sin more and more.
But what's amazing is he got right as soon as Nathan confronted.
Right. So Nathan, okay, let's go to the story here. So it's not in Psalm 51, but so what happens with Nathan the prophet?
He speaks a parable against him.
Okay, he speaks a parable to David, and what is David's reaction? He's outraged. What does David say? Tell me who it is, and he's a dead man. And then what did Nathan say to David?
Thou art the man.
And as soon as he was confronted with his sin, what did David do?
He owned it.
Finally, after running and covering and lying and cheating and committing murder, all of this stuff, David finally owned it. Then what happens? Okay, the consequences of his sin. Bathsheba is with child now. And what happens to the child?
He dies.
What does David do during the immediate, after the immediate birth of his son? Because it was a boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, what does he do?
Well, he mourns when he's sick and when there's hope.
Right.
But when he dies.
Okay, so the boy dies and David gets up, he cleans himself, and he's like, okay, it's time to move on. Right? When does he write Psalm chapter 51? I don't know exactly, but I think it's shortly after this. I think it's shortly after his son dies and David is confessing his sin before God. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Again, David is owning it. And as I was having my little pity party over my sin, God is saying, why are you not owning it? Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Is that true? Okay. But did he not sin against Uriah the Hittite?
I don't know if you call it sin.
Had him murdered.
I know.
Just saying.
I agree with Jen. I don't think that's the correct terminology that he sinned against him.
But the key is this: in David's mind at this point, his sin, no matter what it was against God.
Yeah.
And that is key. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clean when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's not an excuse, by the way. Okay, I'm just saying.
No, he's acknowledging he's a sinner.
Right, exactly. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy precepts, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy right spirit." And we could go on and on and on, but my point is this: God just really worked me over pretty good, because one of the things we like to do, and I shouldn't say we, I can only speak for myself. One of the things I like to do is blame others for my sin. Well, of course it does. Of course it does. And this exercise that God put me through really magnified my heart to myself. And I'm not up here confessing. That's not what I'm trying. That's not my point. My point is that if I struggle with it, I'm sure maybe one or two of you out there do the same thing. And I just wanted to encourage you. Give your sin to God. Or confess it. And allow him the opportunity to clean you and make you white as snow. And one of the things I like about David here is this. He recognized that there was nothing in his own ability that could make himself righteous again. It was only God. It was God who was going to wash him white as snow. It was God who was going to forgive. I came across a quote in the midst of all of this. I wanted to share it with you. I gave Chris a picture of it. R.C. Sproul wrote this. When there's something in the Word of God that I don't like, the problem is not with the Word of God, it is with me. I like that. And as I meditated on it, I thought of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, will I help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. My strength is only in him. I've got a question. I don't know if we're going to get to our lesson tonight. Well, we should. Question. When we have problems or conflicts, with obviously with other people, who should we look at first?
Ourselves.
What is the general tendency when we have conflict with someone? Is this not what we do? Our pastor of 20 years used to say, you need to be careful when you point your finger at someone because you have three pointing back at you. And it's so easy for us to look at situations and problems and conflicts and say, it's their fault. And very seldom do we take the time to reflect and say, you know what, maybe the problem is me. And recently, through this time of reflection, I had the opportunity to do some self-reflecting. And it was a good exercise for me. And as I was working my way through it, I just felt like God wanted me to share this with you tonight, to just kind of encourage us oftentimes to don't point our fingers so quickly. Instead of pointing a finger, hold up a mirror. Anything before we go on? Yes. Okay. Psalm what?
What?
Psalm 51:7. Hyssop. I off the top of my head, Chris is back there probably Googling it. I don't think it. I Okay.
I personally read it. It almost sounds like
a willow stick.
Yeah, actually it does.
It was a plant used for medicinal
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like a whooping stick to me.
Well, if it was used for medicinal purposes, then cleansing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
They use it like a brush to sprinkle blood.
Okay.
Yeah, so cleansing and forgiveness.
Exactly.
Say that again.
Spiritual cleansing and forgiveness.
Okay, there you go. Because the next thing it says is, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. So, yeah, okay. Good question, though. Yeah. Thanks, Lily. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we got 9 minutes to get to our next thing. We're not going to finish tonight. But we have been talking about the New Testament responsibilities of the local church. I'm just going to jump right into the next one. If you want to go ahead and show it, Chris. We are supposed to give to the Lord's work. Okay, this is the list we have here. Pray for one another, acknowledge and care for the pastor, love one another, study scripture, refrain from gossip, pursue holiness, help people with loneliness, bear each other's burdens, and give to the Lord's work. And then tonight we're going to start this idea of, you got one too many on there, but that's okay. Did I give you the wrong one?
I just checked your notes. That's the first.
Okay. That's okay. We'll get to witness to the lost next. But tonight we're going to start talking about giving to the Lord's work. Now, again, let me say this, preface this. This is not a subject that I personally like to talk about. Any idea why?
You don't like money?
I don't like money, okay? I hate money. Those of you that know me know that I love spending it, but I hate it. I don't like money. But I have a question for you. With this the concept here of giving to the Lord's work, the question is this: what are ways that we can give to the Lord's work?
Our times, our talents, and our money.
Okay, our time, our talents, and our treasures. Those are basically the three ways that we have that we can give to God. Okay, so we're going to talk about time, treasures, and talents. So let's start off by this idea of time. How can we give time to God? You tell me.
Praying, reading our Bible.
Okay, praying, reading our Bible. All right.
Going to church.
Going to church, definitely.
Helping at the church.
Helping at the church.
I was gonna say serving in the local church.
Okay, all right. Anywhere else? Absolutely. Absolutely. What about, let me give you an example. When years ago, when we were still living in North Carolina, I was working at the college. On a Saturday morning, we got a frantic phone call from our neighbor whose septic tank plugged up. And because I worked at the college, I had access to a backhoe. So I went over, got the backhoe, and I dug up the septic tank. And she called the septic company in. And because I dug up the lid to the septic tank, saved her a lot of money, because they would have had to bring their backhoe out and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, is that serving the Lord? Right, if you're doing it with the right heart attitude. And it was a lady that Melanie and I had been witnessing to for quite some time. And it was a way for us to serve her. Just show her the love of Christ. So how can we serve God? Omero, can you serve God running a cash register? It's Scolaris, Art, wait, Rayleigh's?
Yeah, I don't know.
You can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you can. How can he? Because if you don't know, the only time I see him, he's running the cash register. I'm sure you do other things, but how can he serve the Lord in that capacity?
By being honest and fair.
Okay, being honest and fair. Okay.
Being cheerful.
Exactly. How many mean people do you have go through your life?
Lots.
Okay. But you know what? Having a smile on your face and just saying, Lord bless you. Yes.
We're supposed to do anything that we do like we're doing it for Jesus.
Okay. So is that giving to the work of the Lord?
Yes.
Absolutely. See, and so often we hear this phrase, to give to the Lord's work, and what is the first thing we think of?
Money.
He's asking for money. Right? But there are so many ways that we can give to God.
We owe him our life,
right? Exactly. Now, I don't want to. Yeah, I've only got like 2 minutes, so I don't want to get into the next part because I will be talking about money in the next section here. But I want you to think about this, kind of, and we'll talk about it next week, of some ways that we can serve the Lord through our actions. What are some things that we can do? Okay, yes.
Last Saturday, the funeral for Faye.
That was a week ago Saturday.
It doesn't matter if we know the person or not, if it's church family, serving, giving, to show the love of Christ to a mostly unsaved family, that was going to
be. You know, I really appreciated something that happened. I'm glad you mentioned that. I appreciate something that happened to me at the funeral service. I had someone, I won't tell you who it is because it's not important, but this individual walked up to me at the service and said, I'm here to help you. What can I do to help you? Because this individual didn't know Faye from the Man in the Moon. But how can I help you? How important was that to me? That was huge. Because, you know, I'm not picking on anybody, but the reality is not very many of our church family were here. It was mostly her family because her health had gotten so bad, she hadn't been to church in quite some time. Yeah, at least 2 or 3 years. So hardly anybody knew her. So that meant a lot of it fell on Melanie and I. And just somebody walking up to me and saying, hey, I'm here to help you. What can I do to help you? Was huge. So was he serving me or was he serving God? Exactly. So we can serve in a lot of ways. So I want you to kind of be thinking this week on how we can serve God with our talents. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for your kindness. Lord, thank you for the discussion earlier that we had. What an incredible challenge it was to me. And Lord, I just ask that you guide and direct in our lives, that you help us to draw close to you because of our time together. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's see.